Jesus' name, this Mother's Day Sunday morning. One of the things that I like about Easter and Mother's Day, if you have to preach, I don't wrestle long with what kind of subject, what should the bulk of the matter be. Now, I believe it is totally appropriate on Mother's Day Sunday morning to get out and preach a doctrinal message from Hebrews. We typically don't do that. This morning's message is a Mother's Day message, and the title is The Spread of Faith by a Mother's Example. Maybe grammatically it's more correct to say the spreading of faith by a mother's example. But the idea of a mother's influencing the faith that is found on the earth today. We'll start with a story. Johnny comes home from school visibly upset. "I'm so jealous of Sam. He gets everything he wants every time he asks for it. We never have money for anything. I had to earn my bike by doing summer work. His dad just bought him another new bike." Johnny's mother gave him a big hug and replied, "Johnny, we do like to buy you good things. Your dad works hard for everything he earns for us. Life is never equal and often seems unfair, but we have many blessings to be thankful for. Johnny, do you remember that math test you got 100% on last week?" "Yes, but what does that have to do with money and bikes?" he asked. "Suppose your teacher just gave you 100% without you even doing the work," she went on. "Would it be as special to you since you didn't really do anything to get it?" Johnny had a puzzled look on his face as he tried to process what his mother just said. His little mind could hardly reach the depth of this concept, but he thought he understood it. "So maybe I appreciate my bike more because I had to work for it?" he asked. "You got it, Johnny. Now here's some snack for you. You must be hungry working so hard in school." So Johnny came home with feelings stirred very high. Johnny was in this event. Johnny created this teachable moment. Mom didn't plan on this lesson immediately when Johnny got home from school. But you know, it's hard to have this teachable moment delayed for dad to teach. Now is the moment. Now Johnny's into it. Now his feelings are high. And mom did well. She did very well. You know, this subject was the biggest thing on his mind. Everything else was dwarfed, even the school snack. He wasn't worried whether we have, chocolate chip cookies or applesauce. This unfair situation that this Sam gets everything he wants and we don't was a huge deal in his mind. And he met mother and that made all the difference. And I want you to think about the depth of the subjects that this related to. This related to relationships, how he relates to Sam. This related to how he views himself and their family. How do we rate with the folks I go to school with? This related to money and possessions. These are some huge adult concepts that Johnny is meeting. And mom takes a moment to put some things into perspective. Mom was present. Mom was there when he got home from school. She wasn't in the middle of a phone call or listening to a podcast. She was present. She was caring. She was wise. And she was not moved to pity by Johnny's tears of disappointment. "Oh, Johnny, I feel so bad that you have to feel this way." But she was not moved by that. She kept her composure and she taught a powerful lesson that probably could not be taught by a planned lesson and saying, okay, when the children get home today, we're going to sit them down and I'm going to teach them this part of life. Now, there is a place for that, and that's a good thing to do, to plan a sit down and talk. But this lesson went home deeper because Johnny was stirred, something happened, and Mom seized the moment and taught something. The story doesn't continue, but there's a good chance that when Dad comes home, Mom can tie this into Dad teaching Father. But in the moment, in the heat, in that event, it's important. She seized a tremendous opportunity to speak into his life. Because by the time that Dad gets home, the nature of little children is, the feelings went away, it's not a big deal. And maybe it'd be harder to teach at 7 o'clock that evening. Probably would be harder to teach. Johnny found food. He found answers for life. He found perspective. He found truth for himself because there was a mom at home. Now, for those of you taking notes, this morning's message, this is part of the introduction. Then there'll be some points for a mother's influence and then some faith builder events, things we can do to help build faith, and then faith destroyers. You may turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. This morning's message does not have lots of scriptures and going to and looking and exploring them. This is not an expository message. This is a practical, everyday message about how we can inspire faith in the rising generation and what part mother has in doing that, not to let father out of the equation as well. But 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, Paul, talking about Timothy, says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. We don't know much about Timothy's father. Acts tells us that he was a Greek. And so what we do know is that his mother was a woman of faith, and so was his grandma, and now this same faith is in Timothy. This is the verse that led me to this theme of the spread of faith through a mother's influence. Research has shown repeatedly that mothers have a huge impact on their children. This is also true of caregivers and school teachers. Not quite the same way, but it's very, very similar. And there's three important components that research talks about. And I think in our day-to-day, with the pressures of technology, mothers should think about these three things. These three things make the influence of a mother powerful. They do the same for father, too. But number one is active presence. Active presence. And number two is responsive interactions. Questions and answers. And dialogue and responsive interactions. And number three is secure attachment. Now, if you want, if one of you preacher brothers want an inspiration for a message, take those three things into brotherhood. This morning, one of the things that's blessed about this brotherhood is that as we gather to worship, we should have active presence, that we're here, you're listening, you're taking notes, you're not falling asleep, you're receiving. In Sunday school, you were interacting, so there was responsive interactions and secure attachments. This is where I belong. This is my people. Mothers with high interest in academics for themselves and their children will always have children who do better in school to some degree. Now, I know that I've taught school long enough to see that some are more apt to learn All men are not created equal with talents. They're not. Some struggle hard for what they get. But research has shown that when mother and father, but when mother has interest in learning, what can she learn? And she'd love to have her children learn it. Her children will go farther in school than they will if she thinks school is a necessary evil and can't wait till her children can get out of school. The impact. A mother's belief, research has shown that a mother's belief in her child's potential will inspire confidence. I believe you can do this. Here, let me help you get started because you're big enough to do this. And she's there. And her belief in the child's potential inspires confidence in them to try their hand at life and duties. Another thing that research shows, and I'll be careful with this, we'll be understanding. Research shows that a mother's emotional stability will teach her child to cope with life, to empathize with others, and to regulate themselves. That's a big thing, but what a mother's state of emotions and how she relates to that teaches children to cope with life, have feelings of sympathy for others, feel for others, and regulate themselves. One writer said that when a mother has the kind of emotional roller coaster that one time it's all great, glory, hallelujah, it's all a party and a blast, and the next day is everything is all terrible. Children do not learn to regulate themselves. They run wide open or they crash really bad. And mothers who find some emotional equilibrium teach their children something about coping with life. Well, we know that ladies' emotions go up and down, and we understand that. In fact, I think it's good for children to see their mother working through that as things are good and things are bad, and they have emotions, because as fathers, we hide too many of those things, and the children don't understand why it doesn't yank on our hearts more than it does. And somewhere between watching dad and watching mom, they learn how to relate to the ups and downs of life. As I thought about this subject of a mother's faith, I thought about this idea of the chain reactions of faith. You know what a chain reaction is? One thing creates another, it ripples down through. You think about the mother of Moses. She spared the life of this little boy, and she gave Israel a great deliverer. What kind of ripple went down through Israel because there was a mother of Moses who had faith in God? Tremendous chain reaction. The mother of Samuel dedicated him to God's service. What all did that do? We read those stories. Naomi and Ruth, they were widows of faith, but they came back with faith in God, and there's a ripple effect went down through. And we saw the mother and grandmother of Timothy gave a man to the early church. He was first a helper to Paul, then a leader, and then a bishop. And he's still an example to us today, an inspiration of the impact that faith can have from one generation to the next. The chain reaction of faith, but I want you also to think about the chain reactions of sin. It works the same way. Jezebel's wicked influence. What all did that do in the land of Israel? Lot's wife. And then the emptiness left when mother's missing from that home because she turned back. The chain reaction of sin and the bad influence that has down through. Well, I'd like to draw a little diagram on the board this morning. And this diagram I cannot do complete because I'm not going to try to draw a three-dimensional thing, but I'm going to draw a triangle. And on this corner, I'm going to put father. And on this corner, mother. And here is children. And I'm going to also put community, the people we serve. Now, if I was up to drawing three-dimensional, I would draw a pyramid. And up here in the center at the top is God. But you can figure out how to draw that. And this pyramid is life. And so you have this God at the top, and you have these three corners. Now, it's God's design in godly homes and godly families that father and mother would be together in the faith and provide a home where children grow up in, and this home reaches out to community, and there's this wonderful threefold cord, all under the eye, under the authority, under the direction of God. But sometimes there's a part to this triangle missing, and 1 Corinthians 7 tells us that sometimes there's an unfaithful spouse, and the faithful spouse can stay faithful and be the redemption of her children and perhaps the redemption of her spouse. Peter says the same thing. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And so the biblical view of authority is that there's greatness in serving. And here we are under the authority of God and we serve. Father is to be the leader and mother serving under father and the home directed in that way. Mother is the heart of the home, the caregiver. She's the one that provides tender touch. She was the one that was there for Johnny. And so there's this beautiful triangle of influence here. It's God's perfect plan for families. So this morning, as we talk about the influence of mother, I don't want the scales to be tipped that it's all a mom to influence the children to have faith. The reason for looking at this subject is in this way is to show the great impact that a mother has. But God's plan is for the complete thing. So I don't want fathers to be sitting here thinking, okay, mom, make it happen. We have our place to fill. And there's a day in the calendar that comes around called Father's Day, and that's the day to look at the other corner of that triangle. And so let's just return with this triangle on the board. Let's just return to our opening story. Mother helped Johnny view father correctly, right? Johnny felt like this other boy's dad gives him everything, but mother helped Johnny to appreciate what dad's doing and to understand life more complete, that life is not always fair. And actually, if you work for your bicycle, you will appreciate it more. Maybe the reason Sam got a new bike already is because the first one was just given to him and Sam beat it up and now his dad just bought him another one. And Johnny's bike is a good chance he'll outlast both of those bikes of Sam's. That's one of the principles of life that Johnny is learning and Sam is not learning. One day, those boys might be in business and Sam might be running short on funds because he can't make his Milwaukee tools last very long because he never learned the value of caring for things. Maybe he didn't learn the things that Johnny did back there at mom's table when he came home from school. So let's look at a mother's influence. I have 5 points here. Why is it that mom has so much influence? What are the dynamics that make mother, that place mother in such a place of influence? Number one, mother spends more time with the children than father, generally. Especially the little ones. They're with mom all day long. Now, I believe that we as dads should figure out how to be more present in their lives. But it's one of the realities. When Johnny came home from school, who did he meet? He met mom. She's at the house. And so there's daily conversations. There's questions and answers. And there's sometimes an unending list of questions. And also because they're with mom, they're hearing and observing mom. They listen to mom on the telephone. I enjoyed when our girls were little, I enjoyed watching them play and pick up a play phone and pretend they're talking on the phone. And just the way they would talk and then laugh, it sounded like my wife on the phone. You know why? Because they heard mom and they followed mom's example. And so mom spends more time with the children. Number two, there's a bond between mother and baby. And this bond produces trust and security. There's a bond there that is somewhat different than the bond with father. There's a bond children need to have with their dad, but there's a bond they have with mom that is different than with father. And I don't profess to know all of that, especially when you talk about adoption and some of those things. I know there's dynamics there that influence how a child looks at life and looks at their parents. But I believe that as parents, as we take our place, even with adoptive situations, when we take our place, we work on building that bond as best we can to the glory of God. And it's a blessing to be able to provide home life for children who would have been in poorer situations. And we can't totally mimic, we can't totally copy the natural family, but we do the best that we can. And there's adjustments to that, but God gives the grace. God is there. And so there's this bond between mother and baby. These are very formative years, and mom is the primary figure in the child's life. When the child is hungry, yes, dad can calm the child for a little until they figure out that dad doesn't have the provisions that mom has. He doesn't have the touch. Number three, children easily pick up mother's emotional state. They are very sensitive. They can tell when mother's fearful. They can tell when mother's at rest. They learn how to respond to fearful things, to bad things. They get some vibes on that. And so if mother is cheerful, perhaps they will be cheerful. Not always. Sometimes you have a grumpy child on a day when mother is singing the songs of Zion. But there is an influence that goes out from a mother's emotional state. Especially the influence, and this is a silent influence that you can't put in words, and it accumulates over many years, but this influence that mom has when mom is satisfied and happy to be mom at home. There's something powerful that the children learn. If mom wanted to be a career woman and these babies changed her plans and she can't wait till they're grown and she can't wait till we have an empty nest and she can't, I have something else in mind, the pathway will be different and fraught with troubles. But when mom loves to be mom and loves to care for these children, I know it's inconvenient and I know there's frustrations and I know not every day do you love it the same. I understand that, but children pick up on the emotional, the feelings, how where mom is, mom at rest with what's her lot in life. Number four, children easily catch on how to view dad and authority. They connect to mom. And so when mothers honor their husband, they raise respectful children. When mother is full of criticism for every authority, they create in their children a bias and a distance. Just watch out for authority. They're always up to no good. And these men, they always got problems. And the church leaders, they got problems. You take that attitude in life and you'll send your children on a path that'll lead away from God and from even you eventually as a mother. Because eventually they'll turn around and see your authority the same way as you saw the authorities in your life. So, children easily catch on to how to view dad. Number five, maybe is a strange point. I might have to unpack this for you, but children identify with a mother's weakness The Bible calls the lady the weaker vessel. Children identify with the mother's weakness and look to dad for protection and strength. So as children are growing up, they realize that mom is the weaker one, but mom has the feelings and mom I go to when I'm hurt, when I have tears, I'll go quicker to mom, but dad's the strong one. And we need dad to protect us. And they learn something of this haven that dad provides. And it's important, this is an important model of the faith, that as children learn that mom finds her rest under dad, it's part of this thing to say we all find our rest under God. The protection that mom and the children in that weak state find in dad, we all find in God. That's how this thing flows together. Because when the car gives trouble, dad's needed. We need something bigger than ourselves. That's okay. Especially when dad rushes in to meet that need and it tells the family something about what God does and how he relates to us when we call. A mother's influence. This next statement I'd like to make could be a whole message in itself. But YouTube can easily steal the input of godly parents' influence in a small child's life. So we were just talking about the connection children have to mother, the fascination they have with mother and dad. I grew up in an era of time where we didn't watch YouTube. We didn't see those things. I grew up in an era of time, and little boys, we talk about Fords and Chevys, and our dad was the biggest thing in our lives. I suppose boys still talk that way at school. I'd really be interested to know your thoughts on this. But actually, more and more, I think that little boys are talking about biggest things they saw on YouTube, and the biggest thing is no longer their mom or their dad. And you trade something in. You trade something in when there's something bigger, wilder, more impressive than the parental influence that they're growing up on. Now, it's a wrong idea to send your children to school to say, my dad's the greatest, okay? I'm not promoting that. I'm simply saying in this whole structure of teaching, when dad and mom are no longer the big thing in their life, but YouTube is where the big thing is, you're gonna have trouble directing their feet. Because what's the big deal in their life will shape their life. Second part, I'd like to look at faith building experiences with our children. That was a look at why a mother's influence is so powerful. Now, what things should we do? Some practical ways to build faith. What can mothers do? Well, there's a few we can go over fairly quickly. Bible stories and then explanations of Bible truth. That's the first one. Bible stories. And I know that you can buy these sets of Bible story books. And I remember the day thinking, should you spend, I forget what we paid for a Bible story series that we bought, $350. And we didn't have the money for them, but we bought them. And I have no regrets for buying a good set of Bible story books. Now, I believe you can read the Bible story right out of the Bible. But there's something wonderful about a Bible story book that's written in language that children connect to. And there's pictures. And those pictures burn indelible impressions in your mind. Just think in your own experience when you think about a Bible story. Do you have a picture of an old Bible story book with David and Goliath? Or it burns a memory in our minds. And while it may be a little thing, it is a huge thing because those things go with us. Remember, light of truth. I remember there in instruction class with the young sister that's a member with us. And the reality that she didn't grow up with stories like our children, Bible stories. And how that impacts how we think and how that impacts Bible understanding. And yet God's grace is sufficient. And You can grow and you can get a hold of things. You don't have to grow up knowing Bible stories, but it's a tremendous blessing. Number two, helping children pray. Helping children pray. And I believe fathers should be involved here too. But bedtime prayers. Prayer when there's a need or when something is fearful. Helping children to pray and pray about. Maybe they lost something and prayer that God help us find this. Or something that's a big concern on their mind. Maybe something's bothering them that someone is sick. Praying with them is precious moments of faith building. Number three, a mother's own devotional life and prayer time. And I know this is terribly hard to get it worked in. I know that mothers often feel so guilty and they say, well, I'm just rushing around doing, working with the children and helping them. Well, God give you grace to find time. But when you find time, even if the little ones are sitting on your lap or around beside, or maybe you put them down for a nap, maybe you read them a story, and you find those moments, even if the moment is short, your own devotional life and the grace of God meeting your own needs will have a tremendous impact on the children. Perhaps in those busy times of life, perhaps it's a Bible verse on a note card on the refrigerator or on the counter. And perhaps the children heard you talk about it with your friends, that you're so busy, you find it's hard to find time with God. And you're doing this with note cards. They understand, Mommy, what is that on the fridge? Well, it's my one of my connections with God. It's one of the things I can do to keep my heart inspired. Number four, helping children do what's right. Helping children do what's right. This is a huge subject, but biblical correction and clearing of wrongs, a spanking and then forgiveness that it's over, it's clear. That's part of it. But it's also teaching them to share with others, teaching them to be kind, saying sorry when they hurt another child. And all this teaching them to do what's right is part of shaping their conscience. It's part of teaching them what's right and wrong. This law of God that we talked about this morning in the Sunday school lesson. Helping children do what's right. Number five is church and Sunday school. Now I realize that there's teachers that came to church this morning to teach the Sunday school classes, and you just brought your children here. But I believe that a mother's interest and participation in church and Sunday school is contagious. I believe that if a mother finds it too frustrating to be in the audience and is always sitting out back or sitting in the nursery and doesn't want to be, the children will catch on to something about that. If there's interest to be here and be present and working with children, and I know sometimes they're sick, sometimes they're fussy, they're cutting teeth, and you need to be out back most of the service. This is not to find fault with that. This is simply saying that we send signals to our children about, do we want to be in church? Do we want to be on the bench? Are we involved? Does mom open a songbook and sing if she can? She's got her lap full of little ones. Is it important? It sets a stage for them to say, this is an important thing that we do. Here we join in. Our attitude toward church influences children. They hear those comments as Wednesday afternoon is rolling around and dad comes home and, oh, we have prayer meeting tonight. They hear, prayer meeting always wears me out. They hear that. Now, I know prayer meeting wears us out and I know we're tired, and I'm not saying you should never be absent from prayer meeting. Understand, they catch the clues from our words. How shall I look at prayer meeting? I think that dad should set an example of the inspiration to go to prayer meeting, even when mom maybe is home with one of the children. But we're going to take as many as can, and we're going to go to church. Or dad says, well, listen, this is an older child, the sickness is the kind, I just need someone at home with them. I'll stay home so you can get to church and fellowship. And that tells the children that, listen, sickness is real, caring for children is real, but some of us want to get to church. and get what we can. And it's not always dad, it's not always mom, it's we are a team. How can we, some of us, get a blessing from church? Number six, faith building experiences, is a mother's sincerity and commitment to Christ. And so wherever a child sees that mom is honest, painfully honest, that's a faith builder. Mom loves even the unlovely. That's a faith builder. They watch that nuisance neighbor. But mom will make a pie, will make pies and give one to them. Those are faith building moments. A mother's sincerity and commitment to Christ. Confession when you did wrong or were impatient can be part of this. Consistency when no one is watching. Those are faith building moments that children catch on to. Number seven, helping them accomplish jobs and learn to work. And that doesn't sound like a very spiritual thing. It doesn't sound very much like faith. But you can go to the book of Proverbs and you can read all the verses about the diligent and the slothful and the values and the spiritual values. When men and women love the Lord, they're not lazy and living off of others. They're doing what they can do. And so helping children to accomplish jobs and learn to work, a proper view of life and work, and an humble view of themselves and when they accomplish things. And then the subject of giving. So we work to earn so that we have to give. Those are Bible concepts. And it's a faith-building experience for children. Perhaps we think about faith destroyers. That's the next part. Maybe we could just take all of those points and take the exact opposite. But there's a few things I'd like to share, points I'd like to touch on that I believe destroy faith. And I looked at this message and I was tempted to put the faith building things last so we can end on a good note. But I knew I tend to run out of time. And so I knew that one of them I'm going to have to go across faster. And that's exactly what's happening. So these will go across fast. But things that destroy faith. Number one is a big package, but I have anger, neglect, and rejection toward any of the children. Anger, neglect, or rejection. If there's any of that going on, that's going to destroy faith. Maybe it comes from bitterness towards life. Maybe it's unresolved heart issues of our own. Maybe mom's sitting on the phone most of the day while children run wild and aren't cared for. Maybe it's mom using the children to do her work so she don't have to work, and they catch on pretty quickly that mom's lazy and we are her slaves, and that will destroy faith. It's much, much better for mom to be in the harness working with the little ones tagging along and doing their part, that we're all in this together. Now, I know there's days when mom's sick and children can do things while mom's on the couch. That's a wonderful thing, but that's not the norm. That's a sick day. Number two, disobedience to authorities. Any authority in life. If the children catch on that dad's away, we don't have to do what dad wants us to do because mom doesn't look at it that way. Faith is done. Number three, this is a huge one, and it's a long point, but pitying our children and helping them get even or stay up with what's perceived to be the cool group. So pitying our children, helping them get even if there's some kind of injustice, or I want them at the top of the pack, that'll destroy faith. Faith teaches children to do right regardless of who else is doing it. So in this point is this, there's this sensitivity to unequal things in life and injustices. If mom is really sensitive, oh, that's unfair. The teacher's being hard on you. And well, I don't think, and the church shouldn't be doing that. And if we're really sensitive to that kind of thing, we're setting them on faulty ground. Oh, maybe even picking up the phone. If the children learn that you tell mom the story and mom will pick up the phone and give someone a sound rebuke for how they should relate to their child, faith will be lost. Faith will be lost. Pitying our children and helping them get even or stay up with what's perceived as a cool group. I want them at the top and I want them and I will help them. And they know where to run for sympathy. They know where to run for help. They know that that's where we're at. Number four, leniency, laxness, and laziness will destroy faith. Allowing children to do anything they want. Lawlessness, lack of oversight and direction. Maybe it's inconsistency, varying expectation. So leniency, laxness, and laziness. Now there's an interesting balance needed here. Because we need order and discipline and good housekeeping. But not unrealistic perfectionism. I've seen some dysfunctional children from homes that were so perfectionistic that everything had to be just to the T, and there dare not ever be anything out of order. And sometimes that makes dysfunctional children. But then I've seen places where nothing really mattered and it was all a mess. And that makes problems too. There's this delicate balance. Last of all is evil associates. And that's another large one. But Proverbs talks about the corrupting influence of bad friends. Whether it's neighbors or whether it's electronic connections, evil associates will corrupt good manners. So may God help us this morning. May God bless you mothers and give you courage, realizing that you have the power to influence children for the right and a faithful life. A faithful life, even though it's not perfect, even though you're growing, even though you have a lot of shortcomings, but you want to do what's right and you're growing and you're allowing God to shape you, and wherein you fail, you acknowledge it with your children. When you're on that path, you are an example for them how God wants to lead them and help them grow. And so may God bless you with courage to continue on, because it will make an impact in your children's lives. Shall we kneel for prayer?